Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
It is time now for Ask an Expert. Every weekday at 9:20 a.m. on KCBS, we give you direct access to top experts in various fields. Today, we explore the ever-changing relationship between society, politics, and religion. Earlier this week, Pope Leo XIV, the first American pope, commented on the American divide over abortion and immigration and its relation to the Catholic Church.
Someone who says I'm against abortion but says I'm in favor of the death penalty is not really pro-life. Someone who says that I'm against abortion but I'm in agreement with the inhuman treatment of immigrants who are in the United States, I don't know if that's pro-life.
And this comes as the Church of England has appointed its first female Archbishop of Canterbury. To break it down for us, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Professor Ryan Burge with the Danforth Center on Religion and Politics at Washington University in St. Louis. If you have a question that you'd like us to ask, email us at askus@kcbsradio.com. We'll try to get your question on. askus@kcbsradio.com. Professor Burge, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Pope Leo XIV has not commented on American politics prior to now. What do you make of the pontiff's comments and the reaction, positive and negative, from Catholic leaders?
Yeah, so for those who are not aware, the Catholic Church has a doctrine called the consistent ethic of life, which is there for life at all instances. So they're opposed to birth control because that stops life, but they're also opposed to abortion because that stops life. They're opposed to capital punishment. They're opposed to euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide, unjust wars. So, you know, that position doesn't really track in American politics very well. In some ways, they're more on the Democratic side. In some ways, they're more on the Republican side. And really, Pope Francis didn't talk a whole lot about what was going on in American politics, but I feel like Pope Leo sort of feels like he's compelled to do so, you know, because he's the first American pope. And he said that, you know, you can't be you can't be pro-death penalty and anti-abortion and say you're pro-life. You got to be consistent across the aisle. And I think for a lot of Republicans, that doesn't sit well because many of them are in favor of the death penalty. And on the issue of immigration, they're not pro-immigrant. You know, they have a pretty tough immigration policy. So I like the fact that he's speaking into politics in a way that sort of makes everybody mad, left and right.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you point out, of course, he is the first American pope. But the pope is the pontiff of Catholics around the world. Does he feel some inner obligation to address American politics because he is, in fact, American?
I mean, you would think he would have to feel that way. But for those who don't track this really closely, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is actually incredibly conservative. You know, they've made statements against Joe Biden. They made clear statements against abortion. They made clear statements against the Democratic Party in America. And, you know, if you look at the priests in America, they're becoming increasingly conservative as well. Priests that have been ordained the last 5 years, almost none of them identify as liberal or progressive theologically or politically. So I do wonder if he's trying to sort of, you know, nudge the bishops in America to stop being so partisan, so right wing, and kind of look at the whole, you know, array of political issues that are out there. So I think there's this conflict, you know, between the bishops in America and Pope Leo that he's going to have to navigate, which is not going to be easy over the next 5 or 10 years, because his laity, the people in the pews in America, are increasingly supporting people like Donald Trump. So, you know, how do you try to have fidelity to how you understand the gospel when this is what's happening on the ground in America?
Professor, I wonder what you make of the increasing polarization between political ideologies and the role of religion in our political landscape. I mean, is separation of church and state still a thing?
I mean, it's definitely a thing, but if, you know, people ask me, like, how would you predict someone's religiosity by not asking them any religion questions? And the number one question I would ask is, what's your political ideology? So today in America, if you identify as very liberal, 62% of those people say they have no religious affiliation. If you say you're very conservative, it's only 11%. So what we're really seeing is what we call the God gap or the pew gap. It's the idea that, you know, the Republican Party has become the party of religious people, Christianity, specifically white Christianity, and the Democratic Party is increasingly becoming the party of non-religious Americans. 45% of Kamala Harris's voters identified as atheist, agnostic, or claim no religion in particular. So I think what's happening is we're sort of seeing everyone sorting themselves out, not just politically, but also religiously and theologically. So I think, you know, this is driving the divide, and this is also driving the decline of religion, because there's just not a whole lot of, especially white people, there's not a whole lot of white Democratic Christians in America anymore.
You know, I'll bet there are people listening right now who say, now, wait a minute, I consider myself a Democrat, and yet I'm a practicing Catholic. Can you be a liberal Catholic?
I mean, you can try, but in large swaths of America, I mean, you're 60% of white Catholics voted for Donald Trump in 2024. I mean, it was 50% in 2008 when Obama ran, and now it's 2024. The white Catholic vote is decidedly, we're seeing Hispanic Catholics move to the right on these issues too. We're even seeing the traditionally considered to be liberal denominations like the United Methodist Church. 60% of United Methodists voted for Donald Trump. So it's not just white evangelical Protestants that are supporting the Republicans. It's really white Christians across the board. And I think what that's leading to is a lot of people, like you just mentioned, the white, you know, Democratic Christians are looking around going, why am I going to church and being surrounded by all these people who are different than me and hearing messages from the pulpit that I disagree with on politics? I'm just going to walk away from religion entirely and become a nun, like lots of Americans are right now.
So could the political divide that we're seeing in America right now, it's a Grand Canyon-like divide, is that hurting religion and hurting religious participation?
Oh, I think it's actually hurting more than that. It's hurting democracy. I've got a book coming out in January called The Vanishing Church, How the Decline of Moderate Congregations Hurts Democracy, Faith, and Us. And I really do believe that religion is one of the great mixing places of America, not on race. The church has never been good on race, but on things like age and socioeconomic status, income, education, class. Like if you went to a house of worship, you could be surrounded by people who are bankers and blacksmiths. You know, I mean, that was what the beauty of the whole thing was. And if you know someone of the other party, you might, you know, really dislike their politics. But it's hard to dislike them because you see them loving their church and loving their family and trying their best. If we don't have that, we don't see the other side as humans. We almost dehumanize them. I think that's driving, you know, people leaving the church, but it's also driving our political divides in this country and leading, unfortunately, to these acts of political violence we're seeing more and more.
I want to ask you one more thing about Pope Leo. I mean, many Americans believed that having an American pope was out of the question earlier this year. I mean, I think the smart money was on maybe an African pope or maybe an Asian pope. And here we have a guy from the south side of Chicago as pope. What do you make of Leo's time so far as pontiff?
I mean, I think he's got to navigate. I mean, it's just insane to me to think about. There's 62 million just in the United States. There's over a billion Catholics, you know, across the world. They all have different politics. They all have different theology, all have different culture, different races. It's impossible to check every box no matter what pope you are. And I agree with you. I was really, really shocked that the College of Cardinals picked an American pope. I thought it was going to be an African pope, because it seems like the locus of power in world Christianity is moving to the global south, South America and Africa. So I would have leaned that direction. But I think, you know, he's got to try to hold the center as much as he can and not be drawn into political fights in the United States or in Western Europe or in Africa or in South America. So I think in some ways it's the worst job on earth, because you're trying to lead a billion people who all have different ideas about things. I think so far he's done fine. I mean, he leaned out on politics a little bit right here, but I think he has to do that. That's what the prophetic role of the Pope's going to be. And I kind of hope that he says, my job is to speak the truth. And if that makes you happy, then good. And if it makes you mad, good. You know, my job is to tell you what I think the scriptures say.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to Ask an Expert on KCBS. We're talking with Professor Ryan Burge with the Danforth Center on Religion and Politics at Washington University in St. Louis. Sarah Mullally has been appointed the first female Archbishop of Canterbury. That's an historic first for the Church of England. How big, how monumental is this?
Oh, man. I mean, I think the church has been around since 600 AD, right? So, you know, almost 1,500 years of church history. For those who don't know, the Church of England is the official church of the United Kingdom. The Archbishop of Canterbury is obviously the top of that hierarchical chain, never had a woman in their entire history. I mean, you've got to understand that religion in England is in significant decline. I mean, less than 10% of people report going to church on a regular basis. I think in some ways the church is desperate to try to change course, change the way they're perceived. And let's be honest here, picking a woman for the first time as the Archbishop of Canterbury is an effort to kind of make the church look more inclusive. Because I think, you know, people in Western Europe are liberal, you know, even liberal in terms of America. And they're not looking for a church that's got the same old white guys running the show over and over again. So I think it's, in some ways, it's sort of an olive branch to the marginally religious, you know, Anglicans in the UK to try to get them to come back. Now, if it actually has any impact on them coming back or not, I think the jury's still out on that. But I mean, it's always a good idea to try something different when what you've been doing for, you know, a couple hundred years has led to decline. So, and I think symbolically, it's really important. You know, it's showing that these old religious institutions still have the possibility to change.
You know, if we can have a female Archbishop of Canterbury, could we have women priests in Catholicism? Listen, we never thought we'd have an American pope. Could we have female priests?
That is one thing that I think that that both Pope Francis and Pope Leo are going to hold the line on. I mean, there was a situation in Brazil where there weren't enough priests to serve the communion, and Pope Francis had to make a decision about if he could open the priesthood up a little bit so these rural parts of the country could get communion, and he chose not to. And that wasn't even women. That was just married men becoming priests. So I think that is an issue where I really don't see any evidence the Catholic Church is going to change its mind on married people becoming priests, women becoming priests. And I think, you know, you've seen Pope Leo sort of soften a little bit to LGBTQ, but I don't think there's any future in America or the world where the Catholic Church is going to allow a same-sex wedding inside a Catholic house of worship. So I think those are bright lines for Pope Leo.
Socially, are we seeing more of an overall decline in religious sentiment as we look across maybe age, gender, locale, and the like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the share of Americans who are non-religious was 5% in 1991. It's 30% today among Gen Z. It's 42, 45% somewhere in that range. We've seen huge drops in religious. Half of Gen Z goes to church less than once a year now. I mean, we even see older people, you know, the baby boomers are significantly less religious today than they were 30 or 40 years ago. So when I said the rise of the nuns has gone from 5% of America to 30%, you don't get to 30% by just being one thing, just being young people, just being white people, just being Democrats. It's got to be all the way across the board. And I honestly believe that it's the largest, you know, societal shift we've seen in the last 50 years. And it's going to have all these ripple effects. People don't realize that a lot of churches in America are going to close down in the next 15, 20, 25 years, and that's going to leave all kinds of problems for local government, what to do with these buildings, but also social service. Think about all the stuff that churches do that we don't even think about. Soup kitchens and clothes closets and Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and blood drives and election polling places. Where are we going to have that stuff whenever all these churches close down? So I think we're kind of on the precipice of a really difficult future and some difficult questions.
I want to put a bow on our conversation with this question. What are some of the major misconceptions about religion in America? Is there dated and misinformation that we're still trying to understand about religion in 2025? It's not 1925 anymore, or even 1975. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the misconceptions about religion that linger today?
Yeah, I'll give you the one that I just beat the drum on all the time that people need to understand is, people assume that religion in America is for uneducated poor people. I don't know where this mentality comes from. I think we read too much Karl Marx at one point. You know, religion's the opium of the masses, right? It's dumb people are religious. But if you look at the data, what you consistently find is the people that are the least likely to identify as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular are those with graduate degrees, master's degrees, actually. Those people are the least likely to be nuns, and they're also the most likely people to go to church on a regular basis, are people with a graduate degree. The least likely attenders are those who did not finish high school, and if you add income into the mix, the kind of the ideal scenario is a person with a four-year college degree who makes between $60,000 and $100,000 a year as a household. They're married and they have children. Those are the kind of people that are showing up to church every Sunday. It's not the poorest. It's not the richest. It's not the uneducated. It's actually the upwardly mobile. And that's why I think we're seeing these churches explode in suburban areas around Atlanta and Charlotte and Dallas-Fort Worth and Phoenix, because that's exactly who they're targeting, is sort of educated, white-collar, upper-middle-class folks. Those are the kind of people going to church in America right now.
It is a whole new world, society, politics, and religion. Great analysis by Professor Ryan Burge with the Danforth Center on Religion and Politics at Washington University in St. Louis. Professor, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
That was a pleasure. Thank you.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.